Hello, listeners. You are listening to Too Many Podcasts and Jim, the Podcast Sherpa. I am Samantha Jones from Spiritual Philosophy Chatter with the Joneses, and my psychic abilities are telling me that you are going to enjoy this episode.
Welcome to Too Many Podcasts, the podcast about podcasts. Now, podcasting from the Sherpa Chalet on Mount Podcastia, he's your host, Jim, the Podcast Sherpa.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Bruce, and thanks a lot for tuning in to Too Many Podcasts, the podcast about podcasts. It's me, Jim, the Podcast Sherpa, and it's another wonderful week. Hey, you know what? I'm doing a little bit of an experiment, if you'd like to check it out. If you have a Spotify account, or even if you don't have a Spotify account, I think you can still check it out. Go to Spotify and do a search for Too Many Podcasts with the exclamation point, Sherpa Chalet of Rock. And it's an experiment that I've been doing, and it's about 100 classic rock songs and one of my podcast episodes. Well, in that one playlist. Hopefully I'll get a nice response to this. And you know, if you're a classic rock fan and you even don't feel like listening to the podcast, that's fine. At least there's a lot of good music for you to check it out if that's your favorite style of music. If I get some positive feedback on it, I'd definitely like to create a lot more playlists. And who knows, maybe in the future it may serve me well. I wonder if this song might make it to the playlist.
It's theme week.
And this week's theme, it's actually a theme and a half. It's book club and it's MMA, mixed martial arts. And we've got a martial artist on the show today who's actually returning to the show. He was on the show last season. So I bet you know who he is, or do you?
Who's our guest today, Sherpa?
Did somebody say Shark Attack? Well, if you did, you would be correct. That's right, Mark the Shark Retorto is back at the Sherpa Chalet, and he's got another new book out, and we'll also be discussing his podcast, which is the Mark the Shark MMA Show. Definitely an interesting conversation that we had. While we're on the topic of books, today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. You can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/Sherpa. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And maybe one of those will be one of Mark's books, or maybe one of his children's books. Not one of his children's books, one of his children's books that they wrote. You know what I mean. We had Christine on the show before. She wrote a book, too. Anyway, why don't we head on down to the conference room, check out the conversation that I had with Mark this week. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. And talk about welcome back. My first repeat guest from season one is back. And actually, his episode, if you wanted to check it out, is called Book Club. And it was actually one of the most listened to episodes of season one. So I really appreciate that. He's got a new book out. And he's got a podcast, which we're going to get in a little bit more depth into than we did the last times. Everybody, say hello to my friend, Mark the Shark Retorto. How you doing, Mark?
Good. How you doing today, Jim?
I am doing well. Thank you very much. The last time we talked, The Cabal was out, and yep. You were on with your daughter, Christina.
Yes.
She had her book as well. You have a new book out.
Yeah, it was called Marcus the Vampire. Totally, still got a lot of action in it, but it's a total different genre, obviously, because it involves vampires and witches and werewolves and all the paranormal stuff that I like.
Now, is this going to be like The Cabal, where you're going to have a lot of spin-off characters?
No, not really. I think with this one, what I plan to do is I plan to base it around, they're not going to be spin-offs, like where characters are different leads in different books. It's pretty much each book's going to be a continuation. Like, I was originally planning to make it like a trilogy. I was going to write one big long book and then break it up and then publish one big book after I finished the third one. But I just got so into it and I'm like, you know what? I want to release this book now and then get back doing a sequel to The Cabal. So this one is primarily going to focus more on the character, which is Marcus, who's the vampire, his friend Eric. And it's an origin story, but it also involves his family. And it's going to go with continuation on how he proceeds to protect his family at all costs, and how he tries to get away from what I call the dark world, because the book is it's a series of chronicle that I'm trying to put together called the Dark World series. So book one, which is what I just published now, is the origin story, how he starts out as a obviously a normal person during the time of World War II in Nazi Germany. To give you a little background, the character's a gypsy, and they're one of the not as well-known persecuted people during the time of Hitler's reign. He gets tortured, his family gets, his wife gets murdered, and through some magic and science, he becomes a vampire. So he survives, and now he's got to deal with protecting his daughter, and then the story goes on from there. And it will continue on. Like, so first book's going to talk about how he becomes a vampire during World War II, then the second one's going to be more current, brings him into 2019. I want to give too much away because there's an ending. I want to leave a little suspense before I go into book two. But pretty much, he's going to go out through his journey trying to find himself, trying to deal with the change of becoming a vampire, how to deal with protecting his daughter and his family. And along the way, he meets a friend, a particular person, but name is Eric, who he finds out later they were in the same concentration camp, but at different points, and he just happens to be a werewolf. So they develop a tight bond with each other, and they would do anything with each other. So the story's pretty much kind of like what I did with the Cabal. I take something where there was a certain event going on in my life, and then I fictionalize it. So in this book's different from the Cabal. Cabal had to do with something that was happening with my friend, with his health. This one's me dealing with a certain change that I had to deal with in my own life, and the struggles I had to deal with it. So I kind of turned it into a story. And I always like vampire movies and television shows. So I kind of like, you know what? I want to write a book about vampires. And I kind of always like that. I like the Vampire Diaries. I like Underworld. I love Blade. I love all that stuff. And then, you know, anything with like the occult and witches and ghosts, you know, I always find it fascinating. So that, you know, put together the book. I'm kind of happy about it. So.
And with your growing publishing empire, what better venue to than to write a book with, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You talk about Marcus being a protector of his children, and you've got four daughters, as we did the last time. Are any of your daughters coming out with any new material also?
Actually, Christina just published her third book. It's the second book in her Invisible Girl series called A Little Bit Louder. So she's continuing on. She's actually smart. She's continuing on with the character Izzy, I should say, and continuing the story and what the little girl goes through on her day-to-day school life and family life. So, you know, she's doing pretty good with it. She's actually working. She just published it. She's already working on the third part. Each one is, it doesn't seem like there's like a continuation like mine. There's like, you got to read book one, understand book two, but she's got it smart. So I think, you know, she sticks with it and she gets a fan base. If she keeps putting out the same books for that same character, I think as she grows, the character will grow. You know, as the kid gets, you know, into her teens and then the late teens and through college. So I hope she sticks with it because, you know, her fans will grow up and follow the character just like, you know, just like they're following her. I think, you know, it's kind of like a smart thing that she's doing.
And you won't have to put Izzy through college, but Izzy may put Christina through college, right?
Yeah, right? That'd be nice, right?
Now, you said you were always a fan of horror movies growing up.
You know what's surprising? When I was a little kid, I don't know if you remember, like Christopher Lee, all those vampire movies from the 70s. My father used to put those on. And those vampire movies, even today, are more scarier than the vampire movies they got now. Because they had that suspenseful feeling, like, you know, like if someone jumps out of the closet and scares you like that. When I was a little kid, I was actually terrified of vampires. My father used to always have, like, horror movies on. Like, I think on Sunday, they used to have, like, Godzilla and, like, the Monster Hour. I think it was on Channel 9 or Channel 11 or something. So he used to chase me around the house, like, you know, like acting like a vampire and stuff like that. But then, you know, when I got older, they changed the genre. They changed it so it wasn't like scary. They more, they humanized them. So, you know, especially, you know, I'm not into the Twilight series, but like with the Vampire series, Vampire Diaries television series, I like the spin-off. What were the originals? And I love Blade with Wesley Snipes. I love that. That had everything in there. I'm like, I actually thought of it. I'm like, they should have it. But actually, the character was based on a comic book character that I didn't know about it. But I'm like, yeah, that would be good if they had like a hero that was really into martial arts and he battled vampires. Because I was like thinking of that when I was a kid. And sure enough, Stan Lee, who I think, in my opinion, is probably the greatest. I was obviously passed now. He was the greatest storyteller ever. I mean, even though they were comic books, he had a lot to say. I fell in love with Blade, and then a few years later, they came out with a trilogy called Underworld, which had to do with werewolves and vampires and how they were battling back and forth. They had like an eternal war going on for thousands of years. So I actually liked it, and I liked the Anne Rice novels, like Interview with a Vampire, Lestat, Queen of the Damned. Yeah, so that's the kind of genre I liked, other than, you know, like the action-packed, you know, like Jason Bourne or Terminator. That's the kind of genre I like.
So now I'm wondering if there's a lot of garlic in your house either to keep away vampires or a big pizza going on.
Nah. I actually do like garlic, though. Especially in my pizza.
All right. So the last time you were on, we really didn't get the chance to talk about your podcast, and it's Mark the Shark MMA Show. When did you first start getting interested in martial arts?
I was interested in the martial arts since the age of 7. I had a beg and plea with my parents, so I really didn't get started till I was 14. How I got interested in it was my father was a black belt in karate, and when I was 7, he took me, I don't know if it was in Brooklyn or New York City, he took me to a demonstration, and he did a little demonstration where he was breaking boards and stuff like that. I'm like, wow, that was cool. And then not too far off, I don't know if you remember back when we were kids, you seem like about the same age as me. They would always have black belt theater or kung fu theater on Saturdays, you know, depending on where you live, like Channel 29, I think it was like some Philadelphia channel. Then I found out, started watching those, and I would go to the 7-Eleven, and I noticed all the Karate Illustrated and black belt magazines, and then I discovered Bruce Lee, and I was in love ever since then. You know, I think the only time I really took a break was the 4 years I was in college. I kind of did it on and off. But then when I graduated college, I trained with a karate instructor in South Jersey by the name of Ray Martin. What I liked about his school is he had us do everything. He had us doing the traditional karate, but then he also brought in a martial art, which was kind of new at the time, called Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, or at that time they called it Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. And then a few weeks later, I think it was a couple months later, I saw the first UFC. And he was telling me about the guy, Royce Gracie, who was in the tournament. And, you know, he met the guy, and that's just the new martial art that he was studying, sort of rooting for him. And I saw this little skinny guy beating guys that outweighed him by like 40, 50 times. He beat like 3 or 4 guys in the same night. And back then, it was based on what they wanted to prove, which martial arts style was better. Was it judo? Was it boxing? Was it karate? But what the Gracie family wanted to do is to prove that their martial art was more realistic and more superior for street fighting. So this little skinny, well, it wasn't little, 6 feet, maybe 175, 180 pound, beating guys that weigh like 230, 240. He beat them all under 5 minutes. And then he went on to win 2 other tournaments. Similar, same thing, fighting more than one guy in the same night. So at that particular point, I was still like, I liked the jiu-jitsu, but I still wanted to be more rounded. So I was still doing the karate at the time. So it wasn't that many boxing schools or Thai boxing schools back then. And then I went into my first jiu-jitsu tournament, and I took bronze. And I'm like, oh, this is great. So then after that, I dropped karate and just did jiu-jitsu. I was probably like 27 at the time. And I kept going until like I really hurt around the age of 32. And it took me like a long time. It took me like almost like 7 years to heal. Then I went back into when I was 41, and I stopped last October because of my foot. I'm trying to see if I can get back into it this month. I just had my second round of stem cell therapy, so I'm hoping that'll kick in and work, because the injury I had, because at the time I stopped for my foot, I also had my thumb bent back. So I was beat up, dude. I had my hand in a cast. I had my foot in a boot. I couldn't even walk for a good, 4 months. Yeah, it was pretty bad. But that was, October of last year. And when I went through that, I was like, you know what? Let me turn my energy into something else. So I was doing guitar, and I'm like, you know, let me take piano lessons. I had to keep my mind off because I couldn't sleep at night because I was so depressed and mad that I couldn't do jujitsu. And I'm like, you know what? Let me start a podcast. And I'm like, I'm like, you know, I was like a little worried about it. Like, you know, how do you get into doing a podcast? And I did some research, and starting up process is easy. But I'm like, you know what? What am I going to do? Like, what's my theme? And a part of me was like, should I do one, which I still kind of thought I probably could have done because it would have been easier. It was like, you know, like a Jack of all trades podcast where, you know, the Mark show, you know, and have different guests from different backgrounds, which probably would be easier. But I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do something specific. I like the martial arts. I can't do it right now. So let me take that route. And I really loved MMA. I love jiu-jitsu, but from a spectator's point of view, I think MMA is a lot better because it's more fast paced. And jiu-jitsu is a part of it, because if you don't know jiu-jitsu, you're going to get your ass handed to you. And there's three things you need to know: how to wrestle, how to box, and how to do jiu-jitsu. Because like, I put you on your back, you're screwed if you don't know how to do jiu-jitsu. So every single MMA fighter has to know jiu-jitsu. And that is like the one contribution I think the Gracie family did, other than any other. Royce didn't develop it, but other than Bruce Lee, he was the most influential person in the history of martial arts, because he opened up everybody's eyes to how important grappling is. And what made jiu-jitsu different from other martial art grappling arts is that you can defend yourself off your back. You can choke people from your back. You can sweep them, you can choke them, you can sweep them and put them into leg locks. Every other grappling martial art, in order to defeat your opponent, you had to be on top of them. And with jiu-jitsu, you can do it from anywhere. You can do it from here. You can do it from the turtle position, from the back, from the side mouth, from the mount. And yeah, so I went into the MMA and then started the MMA podcast. And I'm like, you know, I need to get some momentum here. So then I joined Facebook groups and, you know, just took it off from there. So every week, I usually air an episode either on a Friday or a Sunday, depending on what's going on in the world of MMA. If there's a big UFC fight, I try to release it on a Friday. And I interview all kinds of MMA fighters. I've interviewed a couple of UFC fighters, which was good. I interviewed a guy by the name of Steve Berger, who's fought everybody you can think of. He had 44 professional fights. He's a year younger than me. He's in his mid-40s. I interviewed this lady, Barb, I just can't think of her last name right now, who's the first flyweight champion for Invicta. So she was my first world champion. Actually, Barb Hennick. I've interviewed Adam Meredith, who also has his own podcast, but not MMA related, who's fought in Bellator. I also interviewed a guy who's appeared on the UFC Contender Series and won. He didn't get the contract, but he won. So I've been lucky through the connections I made on Facebook. I've been able to get a stable and consistent base of MMA fighters. And what I tend to do, which I think a lot of MMA fighters like, is I interview them for free. So I help them promote themselves, which is good, especially if they're trying to do this full time and they need to get a little exposure. It helps them. So they help me because I get the content. And I help them so they get some free publicity.
When the MMA first came around, when it was first kind of debuting as a sport, it was having a little bit of a rough time. It had people kind of looked at it very differently, but then it kind of evolved into a rabid following.
After the first couple of pay-per-view events, there was a senator who in my mind is, you know, a great American hero, a big senator just passed, John McCain, I think. Yeah, he actually banned the UFC from the U.S., so they actually had to go and hold the events outside the U.S. for several years. And then what happened was the show got popular. As it was getting popular, Dana White convinced his friends, the Fertitta brothers, who just happened to be loaded. because they own casinos in Vegas. He's like, listen, the guy who previously owned a UFC is looking to get rid of it because he's having problems because, you know, it was banned from the U.S. They had a fan base, but since they were limited as to where they could hold their events, they can only do pay-per-view events. So he's like, listen, they're selling this thing for $1 million. I think it's a great opportunity. And they jumped on it. Ever since then, Dana White's been doing amazing things for the UFC. Then they had the reality TV show called The Ultimate Fighter, and I think it was on Spike TV. And for the finale, they hosted a fight. Guy one was Forrest Griffin. I can't forget the guy. I forget the name of the guy that he fought off the top of my head. But that event got so many views because of the reality TV shows, and it went to finale. And it got so much exposure from everybody outside the normal realm of normal UFC fans that it blew up the UFC. And then it just took off ever since that that event happened when he had the season one finale. And then it just blew up from there. Then they got the contract with Fox Sports. Now they're with ESPN. And prior to being sold to ESPN, the company Fertitta Brothers sold it, I think, to an Asian company. I forget who it was. It sold for $1 billion. So they bought it for $1 million. They sold it for $1 billion. So it just took off from there. And now it's more mainstream. So now you get people from all walks of life watching MMA. And, you know, part of the process to get that he had to do to get it more accepted was he had to put rules in place. In the old days, they didn't have any rounds. You just keep going until you tapped out or you got knocked out. And they didn't have any weight divisions. You could be 180-pound by guy fighting 300-pound guy. It's happened several times in the old days of UFC. And in fact, you used to have to fight more than one fight guy to get the tournament belt. So they changed it. They added in rounds. They added in weight divisions. They added in rules. Back in the old days, the only rules you couldn't do were eye gouging or hitting to the groin. You could, but they fine you. So they had more rules, like took away like the soccer kicks to the head, the guy's down. You couldn't need a guy if all his hands are on the ground. They added significant weight classes. Then years later, Dana White added the women's division, and he found his star by the name of Ronda Rousey. Now, Ronda Rousey, even though they had other superstars in the sport, I guess it was more charisma and stuff. She helped blew the sport even more because she reached women, kids growing up, young girls watching her saying, hey, I want to be like her. So I think she was very beneficial to the sport. It's all Dana. Once him and his friends bought that franchise, or should say the, I don't know, what do you want to call it, the organization or the franchise, whatever you want to call it, they just turned it into something real. And it became, and it still is, the fastest growing sport than any other sport. Think about it. When has there been any other sport that's only, been around for a while? Like since 1997, I would think. It was in 94. I forget the year. I think it was 93 or 97, right? Usually all the big sports that you see now, like baseball, football, they've been around for how many years? Like 50, maybe even longer. So, you know, my hat's off to Dana. He did a lot.
Yeah, he definitely took it to another level. And just as we were discussing early before we started recording, you can't talk MMA without mentioning the god of podcasts, Joe Rogan.
Yeah, he had a lot. I think he, you know, in his whole way. You know, because he was a lifelong martial artist himself. And I think he used his celebrity because he was always a commentator for the UFC. And then he used his celebrity. And I guess, you know, with his podcast, he has a lot of ex-UFC fighters on the show. So it helps. He branched out. He just doesn't talk about MMA on his show. You know, he talks about politics, you name it. He interviews musicians like David Lee Roth, Gene Simmons. He's all over. And if Joe Rogan, if you listen to this, you're going to have me on the show. Because I've seen some of the guys. He has one guy on there. I gave him props in terms of jiu-jitsu, Lex Freeman. You know, he's a good jiu-jitsu guy, but man, he's boring. Dude. You gotta have me on your show. I've seen that guy a couple of times. I know him. I've actually seen him compete a few times still. A good jiu-jitsu guy, but man, he shouldn't be on a podcast with Joe Rogan. He needs me.
Maybe I should title this episode something that'll get Joe's attention.
Yeah.
You're Joe Rogan and you're reading this.
Yeah. And also, if you listen to this podcast, also buy my book.
That's right. Getting whatever promotion you can, right?
Yeah, exactly.
In your podcast, were there any fighters that you would consider some of your favorite interviews?
Well, Barb Hancock, I thought was very interesting. Not just because she was a world champion, but she went into her experiences. because she won the Evicta title, and then she went through some phase where I guess she didn't know what she wanted to do with the fighting, and then she had the opportunity to be on the Ultimate Fighter. And I think she made it to the semifinals. Like, she won two or three fights, which was good considering she was the oldest woman on the show. She was way past her prime, and she didn't really compete for 3 years. So I thought her story was very interesting. And there was another lady that I found very interesting too. If I can, she's another MMA fighter that fights for Invicta, but she doesn't have a world title. Kelly D'Angelo. I had an interesting conversation with her. She fights in Invicta. Her husband's a mixed martial artist who hasn't gotten pro yet. I'm assuming he'll be pro at the end of the year. I think he's undefeated, yeah. And she's a full-time firefighter, and she just loves to compete. So she does MMA. And a lot, what I find interesting is a lot of these people that I interviewed, some of them were lifelong martial artists. Like, you know, they wrestled them since they were 5 or 10. But some of them, they started late. They didn't even do karate or judo or anything like that. They started late in life, like in their 20s. And then they just went into it, you know, only a couple years. And it just went right into the cage, which I find fascinating, you know, because it takes a lot to put yourself in that cage. Like, I've competed in a lot of jiu-jitsu tournaments, and I can tell you, adrenaline is going. I've boxed and I've Thai boxed, but I didn't compete in that, and that gets adrenaline going. But, you know, competition and combat competitions in general get your adrenaline going, but I just can't imagine. I mean, I'm old now. I'm almost 50. What these guys do to get in that cage is unreal, and I give a lot of them credit. Just getting in there, it's all mental, like the mental challenges. I mean, they go through the training. Yes, they go through the training. To actually get in that cage and to face another opponent who's trying to hurt you. And when you think about it, these amateur guys, they do not get paid. And even the professional ones, like, if unless they're like in a big organization, they're getting paid like a couple $100. It's like in the old days of kickboxing. I don't know if you ever heard of Don the Dragon Wilson. He was a famous kickboxer in the 90s, 80s, 90s. And he did a slew of B-rated martial art movies. He would do, I think it was 12 or 15 kickboxing rounds. I think that what he would get paid was like $500 or $1,000. I don't even think he'd pay $1,000. Imagine doing 12, 15 15 rounds of kickbox for less than $1,000. That's what, 20, 30 years ago, that's what these MMA guys are getting paid when they do the preliminary card. Now, and the amateur guys, they don't get paid anything unless it's underneath the table. Like, maybe the promoter says, all right, if you sell, I'll give you 50 hits. You sell them, I'll give you, I don't know, 80% or 20%, whatever they do underneath the table. That's about it. If maybe some of these guys, I know they actually pay to go in there, just like you do for jiu-jitsu. And I know guys that you pay an entrance fee. In the old days when it used to be shoot fighting tournaments. I know, because I had friends that did it, you know, and you can come out of there with like a broken nose, dislocated shoulder. You could be out of, if you're a working man and you work with your hands or something, you could be sidelined for months. But they do it for, you know, the love of the art. I give them a lot of credit.
In your show, and in your opinion, are there certain fighters that are supposed to be keeping their eye on that you think that will move their way up the ranks?
There is one guy, Josh Emmett. I mentioned him a few times, just trying to remember what the weight division. He's a lighter weight class. He's in the UFC. He's been knocking people out. If he can crack that top five, yeah, he's in a featherweight division. He's been knocking people. I think he's won his last three or four fights by first round knockouts. So if he can keep doing it, we'll see. But cracking that top five is not easy, you know? And there's some guys like Donald Cowboy Cerrone. I love the guy, but he gets to the title shot and then he gets knocked out. He's definitely always going to be a top two guy, you know, top three guy. And he also fights the most, fights like every 3 months. Most MMA guys are lucky if they fight more than once a year. And it's not because, I mean, he's getting paid well, but he just loves to fight. And I don't know what he's on. You know, he's never tested positive for steroids, you know, testosterone or anything. His body heals up. I mean, some of his fights, and his fights usually go to distance too. I mean, occasionally he submits the guy or knocks the guy out, but mostly submissions. He just always seems to fall short, just like Frankie Edgar. You know, another good MMA guy. But, you know, it's not an easy sport, you know. Then you got Justin Gaethje, who just fought Donald. He just beat Donald Cerrone. He may be getting a title shot real soon. But I think everybody's expecting that because he was already world champion in a different organization. You know, I'm keeping my eye on Josh Emmett, featherweight. He can crack that top five. You never know. You might get a shot title one day.
For somebody who's competed, you know, in the martial arts, with jujitsu and karate, if somebody wanted to get involved and actually be an MMA fighter, what advice would you give them how to get started?
Well, depending on where you live, like in the South, there's a lot of MMA schools. In Jersey, there's not too many. They're mostly like jiu-jitsu schools and you got to shop around. It depends on what your goals are. If your goal is just to get in there and just to do a few fights, you know, you can definitely get into it. But if you're looking to do it and think you want to turn pro, then you got to realize you're not going to be able to work a regular job. So you may have to live in your car for a while. A lot of fighters do, or they live at home. It's a full-time job. You're training like 6 hours a day, and the schools are not going to accommodate, or the trainers are not going to accommodate your hours. Most professional athletes, they're done training by 2, and then maybe they come in for 1 evening session, but it's not like 7, 8 o'clock at night. You know, like the average guy around here, you know, get the works in the city, but like 5 or 6 to get home at 7:38. My best advice is if you're starting out new and you never had any wrestling background in like high school or college, is to find a good jiu-jitsu school. And if you're from the Bergen County area, there's a few good schools I can recommend to people. My number one pick is where I used to train, which is Northern Valley, Enzo Gracie Northern Valley with Carl Massaro. And then he's got 2 black belts that spun off their own school. One is Ramapo, New Jersey. Guy Dan there is really good. Then you got Dave, who teaches in Warwick, New York. If you're in Manhattan, I would definitely seek out a the Enzo Gracie school, training with Enzo. And I suggest you try to get in some John Denner classes. He's like the top jiu-jitsu instructor for all, not just sports jiu-jitsu, but for MMA. That's who George St. Pierre used, you know, and they also got striking there. If it was me, I would do jiu-jitsu, Thai box. If you're in New Jersey, there's very hard to find a good Thai school. In Jersey, there's one in Lodi called North Jersey Muay Thai, where I used to train. And they got the guy there is a world champion. But if I had to choose, it would be try to find somewhere to teach you wrestling. Definitely do jiu-jitsu. You have to know jiu-jitsu. You got it. And try Thai boxing. You know, if you can't get a good boxing instructor, because a lot of good boxing schools are unfortunately not in the best area, I would try to find a Thai boxing school. Because in my opinion, the best martial arts would be wrestling, jiu-jitsu, and Thai boxing. If you can learn all 3, you're golden. Not to disrespect the other martial arts, but those, in my opinion, are the best. Because Thai boxing, you're learning elbows, knees, kicks, punches, just like a boxer, but you're adding other areas of using other limbs of your body. They call it the art of 7 limbs. And in jiu-jitsu, you learn submissions, both on your back and on top of the person. And then the wrestling, you need just to be able to take it to the ground. You know, that's my opinion.
So in other words, you basically learn how to make a weapon out of yourself.
Yeah. You gotta like to get hit and like to be sore, and it's just the way it is. You're gonna be knocked up, you know, have black eyes all the time, and you're just gonna stick with it, train a lot, put your time in. Getting matches is easy. There's always some amateur circuit around getting matches. That's not the problem. Now if you're turning pro and you wanna get something else, you gotta have a good manager for that.
Right, and since you know, you've got your podcast, have there been any other podcasts you've been checking out that you might want to recommend to anybody?
Other than yours?
Well, thank you.
There's another podcast that I, it's on Anchor, a little bit of everything with me, with Angelica. I recommend her podcast. She does it like she talks about a little bit of everything. There's a couple of television shows that she likes, and her and this other lady at the Coupon Queen, they do like a dual show together. And obviously Joe Rogan, I always follow Joe Rogan on YouTube.
And because you've been here before, you know the drill where it's shameless self-promotion.
Shameless self-promotion. Bum, 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 bum. Shameless self-promotion. Bum, 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 bum,
bum, bum, bum. Yeah. If you're interested in buying a book and you can't make the book signing, just go to our website, which is www.retortofamilybooks.com. That's RIT as in Tom, ORT as in Tom, O, RitoroFamilyBooks.com. Our Facebook page is at RitoroFamilyBooks.com. My Twitter is MarkBJJFighter. It's at MarkBJJFighter, and it's Mark with a C, not a K. And then my Instagram is Mark_Ritoro. That's my Instagram account. And my YouTube channel, I have two. One for the podcast, which is actually Mark the Shark MMA Show. And then the one for the book for me and my daughter for the author business is Mark Ritoro Author. And then my Facebook page for Mark the Shark MMA Show is at Mark, with a C, the Shark MMA Show. The website is www.markwithacthesharkmmashow.com. And again, don't forget to buy the books. I got The Cabal, Saga Begins, which is an action thriller suspense book. Hopefully I have the sequel coming out for that next year, hopefully. That's available in paperback, Kindle, and hard copy only on my website, not on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. But if you go to my website, you can choose who you want to buy it from. You can choose Amazon. You can choose Barnes & Noble if you want the audiobooks, because The Cabal, my daughter's books, are all available on audiobook too. There's a link there for you to buy the audiobook from, I think it's audible.com. The new book, the new books that we released are just now currently available in paperback and Kindle on Amazon only right now. It should be available in Barnes & Noble in paperback probably another couple, like sometime after book signing. So I'm focusing more on promoting book signing. Just go to www.RitoroFamilyBooks.com. Once you're there, all the links are there. You'll see links to our social pages, which site you can buy the books from. You can also buy swag. We got t-shirts and hoodies based on the titles of our book. The same thing with the Mark the Shark MMA Show. I got t-shirts. I got hoodies. I got crop tops for women. I got beanie hats, baseball hats. I'm going to be putting a lot more stuff. You can even buy shoes. Not yet, but eventually you can even buy sneakers on my website with my logo. I'm a very busy man. Self-promotion is key. And remember, new episodes every day. I mean, not every day. Every week, you can find the Mark the Shark MMA Show on Radio Public, iTunes, Anchor, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and Pandora. And you can also listen to it on my website.
You took the words right out of my mouth. You're definitely a busy man. And I guess we can let the audience know this. You just came back from a Meet the Teacher night to sit down and do this interview.
Yeah, yeah.
So I really appreciate
it. I had to get out of here. I had to talk to my friend Jim. He's like, I want you back. I got to do it. I got a new book. I got to. These are things. Let you guys know. When you become an author, publishing the book, that does cut it. You got to promote it. And I'm here to promote it.
There you go.
10 o'clock at night, I don't care how tired I am. It's got to get done.
Mr. Mark Ritoro, thank you so much for coming back.
You too, man.
Thanks. Have a good one.
And now it's time for Sherpa Suggestions.
So if you're an MMA fan, here's a couple of podcasts that you can check out. Of course, there's the Mark the Shark MMA Show. There's MMA Untold. Fightful, which also covers professional wrestling. UFC Unfiltered with Jim Norton and Matt Serra. And You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Hey, you know, I know these MMA guys are really tough, but I have the one thing that can really protect myself from any of them. Really good lawyer. Thank you, Dirty Louie. Thank you so much for checking out another episode of Too Many Podcasts, and a special thanks to my guest this week, Mark the Shark Ritoro. Make sure you check out his podcast, Mark the Shark's MMA Show. And you can catch us on all sorts of podcast apps, except one. There's one that's unfortunately closing down, so if you were listening, I had mentioned it on a previous show called Podcoin. Don't listen on there anymore because you won't be able to hear anything at all, not even anyone's podcast. There are a whole bunch that you can listen to me on. You can listen to me on Stitcher or Spotify or Anchor or Google or Apple Podcasts or iHeartRadio. There's a whole mess of them. And like I said before, check out the playlist on Spotify. It's Too Many Podcasts Sherpa Chalet of Rock.
Yeah, rock on.
And also, I'm working on getting on Pandora, too. And when that happens, I will gladly let you know. And also, if you're listening to the show on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or iHeartRadio, please feel free to leave a little review or a positive comment. And if you want to make a negative comment, send me an email at jimthepodcastsherpa@gmail.com. And I will definitely answer you back. I'd like to hear what you're thinking of the show. And if there's anything I can do to fix it that maybe I might be missing. This is all about the listeners. You can also follow me on social media, Facebook at Too Many Podcasts. And of course, Twitter and Instagram also at Too Many Podcasts. You know, number two, blah, 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 blah. I say that all the time. And I've started something recently where on my social media, I will announce my upcoming guests. And if you have questions that you'd like to hear asked of this guest, send it to me in a message. If you want to email me, that's fine. But if you want to post it on social media or private message me, that's great. If it's a good enough question, we'll definitely take it into consideration. And you have my thanks for asking those questions, too. So in the meantime, have a Sherpalicious week.
Viva la Sherpalution!
Mr. Bruce, take us out of here.
Thanks for listening to Too Many Podcasts. Please disperse. You can go home now. I said you can go home now. Viva la Sherpalition. Viva la Sherpalition. Oh. Yell, come back now, you hear?